This is KMKR 99.9 FM Tucson, Arizona. Is this on?
Is anybody listening? Is anybody there? Is there something stuck between my teeth? Did I forget to comb my hair? How come there's crickets in this place? Outside's where they belong. I can't believe this silence like the dark before the dawn. What I'd give for any sign of life, I'd settle for a yawn. Really makes me wonder. Is this on? Hi, Phil.
Hi, Dave. It is on. We are on and ready to talk all about comedy in Tucson. You're tuned to Is This On, a production of the Tucson Comedy Alliance, where we focus, Dave, on local stand-up comedy events in Tucson, improv comedy, which we know you're dabbling your toes in.
Dipping my toe in, yeah, that's right.
We want to talk more about that. We'd love to talk about storytelling. And anything else, we talk... A lot of times we wind up talking kind of pop culture and its relationship to comedy.
Right, right.
And Dave, right off the bat tonight, as we've had so often to over these past few months, start with a little bit of sad news. And that is the
We're like the Grim Reapers of comedy.
We are.
Just like always, hey, this guy died.
We are. We're still, trying to plan Sean Connery's wake. It's a long line. But we are sad to report, as most people I'm sure know
we're like a week out now, right?
From, the death of Norm MacDonald, Dave, only 61 years old,
right.
Lost to cancer.
Yeah, yeah. And kept it to himself, really kept it hidden, and was performing in the least appearing places right up to the end.
And I remember, as I'll do at times, see a celebrity and quickly Google age, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at Norm MacDonald within the last few years, Googling, and maybe he was 60 at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, well, he looks pretty good. Well, let's put it this way, Dave. He looks better than me.
Well, next time you compliment me, I'll be like, kiss of death from Phil. In fact, there was one point where I guess he was getting some sort of a cortisone treatment or a steroid treatment. Where his face, did you remember? You've seen that part where his face was kind of full and kind of inflated.
I don't think I noticed it.
And then, Jerry Lewis had that. Remember when Jerry Lewis went that way
too? Of course,
But it did go away.
He all of a sudden, he looked like Barry Bonds for a while.
Yeah, yeah. The neck disappeared and the whole thing. So,
And he couldn't hit a curveball anymore.
It's we're now a week out from it, and I was quite shocked. I was having lunch with Josh Copen, Josh.
Sure.
Does some comedy
local
here in town,
comic,
and
yeah.
We were just chatting, and he looked at his phone, and he goes, Norm MacDonald died. And I said, what? And I said, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, and as we've heard his friends and colleagues talk about it, he was, not trying to be too public about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And working there till the end. I think in the case of Norm MacDonald, and let's get into it a little bit, Dave. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan. Mm-hmm. Starting, of course, with Saturday Night Live and the his time as the, host of the news.
Right.
And... I don't know how aware I was of him as a comic before that, but that's my first recollections of him, and he was so good. But overall, what I think Norm had, and that makes us grieve in the way we're grieving, is he had that regular guy appeal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could picture yourself having a beer with Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. Yeah, I made a note, actually. We were talking a little bit, like, thinking about Norm, watching. I was up to like 1:30 the other night watching clips of Norm. And, he and Letterman, too, and Conan, for that matter, why they all, his appearances on their shows are so great, is they all have that kind of vernacular of mundaneness, of kind of like middle, Norm's Canadian, kind of that middle American use of like kind of corny phrases, Letterman will look over to the band and say, what's the deal, Paul? What's the deal on that thing? What's that kind of phrasing that you would hear?
And always those kind of special comics that had a sort of an inside baseball dialogue with the band, Robin Williams would always have that, Steve Martin would always have that.
Yeah, but and he and Norm, Letterman and like Conan that. And Norm, they would use this thing where they would talk in such like I said, mundane kind of Midwestern thing, that it softens how sinister they actually are, So that with like Norm, I was kind of thinking he's like, as you know, baseball terminology, you would know. Norm, I would think of a pitcher you would call sneaky fast. Mm-hmm. You know, he seems like he's not really throwing that hard, and then all of a sudden, boom. It also reminded me of Columbo, watching him, because at some points, if you weren't familiar with him, you might think, where is this guy going? He's completely lost the train of this thing, and he always brings it right back.
And a little bit, too, as you say that, it seems to fit. Had a little bit of a rumpled look about him, right?
And
also the sort of gravelly voice, you know, and the kind of soft-spoken.
I read an article about him. He didn't edit out the ums and ahs. Actually, I think it's quite the opposite, like Bob Newhart. I think he wrote them in, or at least figured out where they would go because of the timing and the rhythm of the way that he spoke. You know?
And realized that it worked, and you know, and Jack Benny, you mentioned people who use the pause and the soft-spoken word. Yes, Norm, a huge talent. And you know, it was quite a bit of success for Norm, too, in television, right? There was a series.
He had a couple of series. Yeah. He had, was it 5 minutes with Norm Hooper or something like that? Mm-hmm. And I think he had a sitcom that was just Norm. And I always heard of those. I never think I ever watched them. They usually didn't last very long. But when you watch clips of them, especially now that he's passed, you'd say, like, there's a lot of good stuff there.
And, of course, we'll post a good obituary and some more information. And we'll post some of these interesting things we have found on YouTube as well, Dave. But what I was going to say was that Norm, when I would, you know, probably people are in this habit, you know, as it approaches about, you know, 10:30, 11:30, I want to get a little look and see who's on the talk shows, right? Mm-hmm. And if I'd see that Norm was on, and it could have been Carson, it could have been, you know, Leno, it could have been Conan, it could have been Letterman, it was always kind of special to me. I'd always hit the record button at least. And he was one of those guys that always had a little something extra prepared just for the Tonight Show, right? Or Letterman or Conan. I put him in that category. Steve Martin was always one of those. Robin Williams was always one of those, you know.
I think the difference, if there was a difference, it was that Norm always seemed like he didn't have anything prepared.
Of course.
You know, it would always be...
Yeah, Rickles, of course.
I mean, he might have something prepared, and then he'd say, hey, I got one of them hot pretzels down on the street today. You ever go one of those hot pretzels? And all of a sudden, it's this whole long thing with a with a beginning, middle, and end, and you think
he's
just kind of
thrown
out. Well,
we wanted to pick a little sample of that, Dave.
Yeah.
So I found a piece of Norm on Conan. This is kind of famous. People will probably know it when we say the moth joke.
Yep.
So let's take a little pause here and enjoy some Norm Macdonald.
Now, not all your material comes from the news. Is that right? You know,
no, some of my material comes. My strongest material comes from real life.
Real life.
Like for instance, today I was driving in a car. You were kind enough to bring a car to bring this old chunk of coal here to the studio.
We send cars for our guests, yeah.
Yeah, so I got in it, and I get material that way. So my
what do you mean? How do you get material that way? You get in the car, and what happens?
My driver tells me a joke.
The driver we sent to pick you up told you a joke.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell it now on the show.
Yeah, that's how I get my material.
Okay. Why don't we just have him on next time?
That guy. No, wait till you hear me do it. So the guys, I'll be the guy.
Okay.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office. Sorry.
You are correct. A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, and the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Olinovich, and all day long I work." Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Olinovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there. The driver says, "Oh, yeah? And Bob goes, yes. And he goes, at night I sometimes wake up and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm, a lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria, she fell in the cold of last year. The cold took her down, as it did many of us. And my other boy, and this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Gregorio Ivanovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in a mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me. And in this hellish facade, once
how long a drive was this? Do you live in the valley? Where do you live? Please, sorry.
This is Doc. Sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth. Just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good. And so the doctor says, Mop, man, you're in trouble. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here? And then the boss said, because the light was on.
Norm MacDonald kind of comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, first off, he has you believing that he was told that joke by some driver, right?
Right, right.
And you really do kind of believe it, right? He's the everyman.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of, like I was saying, like you know, softening your expectations into it's just this crummy joke you heard from a driver. And then when he starts talking about the moth going to the podiatrist, it doesn't make any sense. He doesn't explain any of that. And you kind of wonder, like, was that part of the joke, or is he just misspeaking? He lures you in.
And of course, every seeming misstep is there for a reason. And a very funny joke, I might add a clean joke.
Clean, yeah.
Which
yeah.
Norm, certainly Dave, had the ability to work a little blue.
Yeah.
Very, very famous on roasts in that. And we will post, Dave. I haven't had the chance to watch it yet, but I will definitely soon. A YouTube quality eulogy to Norm MacDonald by Bob Saget,
mm-hmm.
who is a comic not too unlike Norm in some
mm-hmm.
ways.
Yeah.
And he seemingly tells some great behind-the-scenes stories of Norm at these roasts, mm-hmm. which I'm dying to hear. And I love the roasts, and I love Norm on the roasts.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a certain irreverence always that worked so well for that. And then, Dave, how far can we go? Of course, his work as the SNL anchor
right.
on the mm-hmm. news was great, but he'll probably be better remembered for his wonderful impression of Burt Reynolds, who died not too long ago.
What was that name again? Turd Ferguson, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
And, of course, the get-up with the giant hat.
Yeah, yeah. I just watched. And I watched everything over the last couple of days.
That
yeah.
whole, you know, wonderful setup skit of Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
With our good friend, also Sean Connery, done by various
imitators. Right, Daryl Hammond, I think, was the
Daryl Hammond,
one that nailed
tremendous,
it.
Yeah.
By that. One thing also you'll notice in the moth story there was how, like I said, he lures you in. He went into such detail about the moth's complaints about his life. He didn't just, the moth said, oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so miserable. Oh, I never get any sleep. He goes, I look over at the woman, I don't know her. I once I was in love with her, but now, you know, it's not just I'm miserable, my wife's no good, my marriage is no good. It's right. All of this kind of poetry where you're just kind of like, it's just a shaggy dog story that's going nowhere. You know?
Yeah, and when I think back on those, they often seem to be a lot about his own marriage.
I don't know about that. Norm's marriage.
Okay. When he would tell those sort of bizarre, or when he would seemingly open up the Dave Letterman, it would be about, remember the famous one, "My Wife's Such a Battle Axe." Oh, that's a great one. Go YouTube
I'll go
that
check
one.
That one out, yeah.
When
he
starts telling Dave what a battle axe his wife is. And I forget the hook, the twist of that, but
when Norm died, it was nice to see how much regard there was for him, and I knew that. Comics all love Norm, you know.
Yeah.
But I was kind of a little surprised by how widespread, because I thought he was a guy that had a very deep following, but not a very broad following. And I thought it was one of those kind of things. Like, remember Leonard Cohen, the singer?
Sure.
Remember he died a couple years ago? Everybody's going, oh, my God, Leonard Cohen died. And I was like, I was never a fan of Leonard Cohen, but I thought, no one has ever mentioned Leonard Cohen to me in 30 years. Where's all this coming from? Oh, Leonard Cohen's gone, you know. And I kind of thought, it's like, well, the people that love Leonard Cohen held him in such esteem, like Bob Dylan or something, that anybody who knew of Leonard Cohen felt that he was deserving of a lot of regard. And I kind of think that is with Norm. Like, people who knew comics said, every comic I know loves Norm, so he must be something special, which he definitely was. But he was, his clips, and you can go on YouTube and just watch his clips about O.J., you know, because he famously basically got fired for beating up on O.J.
Right. That was the time, of course, at which he was doing the headlines.
The update, and the update. Don Olmeyer was a friend of O.J.'s. But if you watch them, they're just hilarious and just brutal takedowns.
Oh, yes. he was out there.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than most of the news hosts.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
And seemed not to be held in that high esteemed by SNL for a while after he left, but did he not come back in favor?
I think he came back and hosted or something.
Yeah,
like that,
I think that got repaired.
Yeah.
Well, just a wonderful guy. And you know what I was going to mention, Dave? I was saying I first became aware of him on SNL, but when I read a couple of these obituaries, he was a writer, if not head writer, on Roseanne before that.
Yep.
So that sort of shows a little bit of that acerbic tongue of his, you know, and Roseanne would be a good vehicle for his jokes, for sure.
Yeah, I heard him tell a story about writing on Roseanne, and Roseanne had this reputation for hiring writers like willy-nilly. Like, she'd bump into a comic in a deli and talk, and she'd say, "Oh, you should be a writer on her show. Come on, you're on the staff." And then the guy would show up, and so these unknown people kept showing up in the writer's room all the time. And there was one comic that she hired, and the guy didn't contribute anything at all to the show, to the, you know, the Roseanne show. And then one day he goes, "I got an idea." And the idea was just insane. It was like, Roseanne has an invisible sister, and she can fly. And it was just an oddball, off-the-wall thing. And they were trying to tell the guy gently, it's not a good idea. And they go, well, you know, the thing about that idea is that she already has a sister on the show. Jackie is her sister on the show.
Of course.
And the comic goes, who's Jackie? after months of being there, he wasn't following the show enough. So that became kind of an inside joke, and often would be worked into script, somebody saying, who's Jackie? Not just on Roseanne, but on other shows, just to kind of give a tip of the hat to this
and that, of course,
story.
That part was played by Laurie Metcalf.
Right, Jackie.
Chicago actress.
Yeah, yes.
Who went on to a
fantastic actress,
big career on Broadway and elsewhere.
Yeah.
I imagine still going. I'm not sure.
I'm sure she's working now.
Wonderful, Dave. Well, you know, it spurs a question, and you and I were chatting to our viewer, or to our listeners rather. It'll seem the look askance when at the thought of us actually chatting to prepare for the show, but we do, and
it says on my tax return that I do. So,
yes, and I support that, Dave, totally. By the way, we do this show live, and tonight we're recording this in advance at our special undisclosed
location. Our favorite undisclosed location,
which we were forced to come to during the pandemic.
Are we talking about Norm, or are you still going on Norm?
I still want to talk about Norm, but just in the corner, I Somebody looking very familiar to me, Dave. But you will go on.
He's reading a paper or something. I can't see his whole face.
He's a little buzzing coming from over there. Well, we'll see. I hope we're not disturbing him. Is he starting to disturb us a little bit?
He looks disturbed.
He looks disturbed. All right. Well, anyway.
Because I was going to point out to you here at the undisclosed location, did you see these things here? They put on the napkins to keep them from blowing away.
Oh.
And it seems to me like a rather, I mean.
Put that on black for me.
It's heavy.
To keep the napkins from blowing away.
It's larger than a poker chip, and it's much heavier. And I thought, people must walk away with these all the time. I mean, it seems like an expensive thing to use that something's probably going to be disappearing.
Number one, Dave, what a ball marker that would be on the green.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, lovely. Well, a souvenir token. And
I feel like I have to wash my hands.
I think, we still do not want to give the location. But
the train is going by, though.
The train is going by. Am I up next at Borderland? I know I'm number 46. Dave, what I was going to say is, in our prep chat that we had, I asked you the question, and I'd like you to share your thoughts, and I'll share my thoughts. In what ways did Norm Macdonald influence your comedy?
Now, I don't know if I could say he influenced me, but I think things that he did made me feel like reassured me of what I was doing, like, could be done.
Identical to some thoughts I had. Yes, absolutely.
Because we're obviously about the same age as Norm, so it's not like we were looking up to him. I mean, we were looking up to him, but age-wise, but I'll say this, that one thing, and it's something I have always, I'm still working on, I've never got, but I always try to be as conversational as possible rather than being too jokey or in character. And I think that's something that Norm did to the limit there. I mean, he was just, like we both talked about, sometimes you don't know he's going into a bit. You don't know he's going into a joke.
Right. And you'll never, for example, you won't see a Norm Macdonald punchline, end with like a rim shot.
It's
kind of joke,
It's more like a double take. It's more like, wait, what? And then the other thing I would say, and then I'll let you fly with it, is that and you probably might relate to this too. It's like sometimes I feel when I get reluctant to go on stage, I go like, I'm not really up on how young people talk or really what they're into. I've never played a video game in my life. I haven't seen any of them.
You're not making TikTok videos?
I watch a few, but that's what they're for, old men to watch. But, I haven't seen any of the Marvel movies, and so it's like, I watch Norm, and I go, Norm doesn't do really anything when he did, aside from Update, which was the news. He doesn't really do things that are topical or timely or commenting on society. They're just things that, the guy that drove him into the show, or somebody he meets at a pretzel stand or something.
If I may, Dave, in that way, and I had this thought, if I could jump in.
That's what got me.
I agree with you completely. In that way, I was thinking, who reminds me of Norm? Who else has been influenced by Norm or does kind of a similar thing? And I think in some ways I'm going to say Larry David. Where it's his reactions to the mundane, brushes with people during the day, buying a loaf of bread getting gasoline, and his, what irritates him about it. Not that he got irritated in the same way as Larry did.
But Larry will blow
those
up.
Those sorts of subjects. Mm-hmm. I thought he had sort of a similar take in that way.
Uh-huh.
If I'd say influence on me, I went right to where you went with, it isn't that I'm copying him. It's not one of my bad impressions that I'm going to force on people right now, Dave.
I don't know if anybody does a Norm impression.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And I'd love to hear one. I bet you Kevin Pollak does a fabulous Norm Macdonald out there. And I'm not that kind of impressionist, Dave, where the people I'm doing actually sound like that.
Themselves. You're a caricature.
Mine's more of a caricature. Yes, I'm the guy on the beach with the charcoal. My point was that I always felt license to add a little bit of storytelling into my stand-up.
Right, well, yeah.
In the way that Norm does. I'd always say to myself, when you've taken stand-up comedy classes or, you know, watched a video or attended a seminar. And everything is, oh, you know, you've got to get a laugh every 6 seconds. And then I would watch someone like Norm, and I would say, he's not getting a laugh every 6 seconds, but I'm still glued to listening to him. You know, I'm not leaving. And there's a big laugh coming. But I always felt like, you know, some things require just a little build-up and a little setup. He may take that to the nth degree. But I always felt, no, I can try that. I don't know, I had this thought too, and I wanted to share it, Dave, not related necessarily to Norm MacDonald, but I've often been told, you know, reopen the wound, so let me pour a little salt in it, you know, that, oh, I'll do one of my, you know, like my mediocre Al Pacino impression. And in class, they would say, like, well, you know what, about impressions, if you can't do them as well as Robin Williams, then you shouldn't do them.
Oh, well, that's...
Or as well as Kevin Pollak. Yeah. I mean, pick your master of impressions. And you know what? I always think in my head, I usually wouldn't say it out loud in the seminar, but in my head I'm saying, well, most of us also don't do jokes as well as Robin Williams. Should we not do those either?
Right, yeah.
You know, so anyway, here's to mediocre impressionists.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing is, you know, there's doing an impression to be an impressionist, and then there's, if you're talking about somebody, I'd say you're referencing Trump or Pacino or something, you do something that suggests him because it's important to the story. You're not trying to, you know, nail him. Well, maybe you are trying to, but I mean, the point is, it comes out as an impression, you know, not an impersonation, I guess.
Yes, a caricature, as you say. Yeah. I would describe, for example, people who listen to our show know that I'm a huge fan of Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
Seth Meyers, to me, is not a very good impressionist.
No.
But uses impressions in a very funny way,
yeah,
to, you know, to punctuate his material.
Yeah, yeah.
And some are better than others, but
right,
that's the way I view it. Anyway, when I pass away, Dave, we can talk about this. Let's talk about Norm MacDonald. And my point was, I will be here, by the way, the week after I pass away.
You'll be here on the show. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I want to hear what...
Hey, my name is Stephanie Leonga. You're listening to Is This On KMKR Radio.
David at the table?
It's an undisclosed location, but it is a it is a restaurant.
Uh-oh. Hey, fellas, you boys. Hey,
Mayor Giuliani, is that you?
I'm the mayor. What, is there something wrong?
Did
the planes go into a tower?
No, well, we just noticed you shaving. It seemed like an odd choice.
That's a phone. It's my phone.
Oh, that was a phone. That was a phone. Because you seemed to be rubbing it along your face, and as you did that, your face became smoother.
Maybe funny.
I had that all wrong.
That's funny you would think that. Listen, you punks.
Can you spend a few minutes to talk to us?
Yeah, sure. Can I ask you a question?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a bowl with some hot water and maybe a towel?
I'll get the waiter over here.
And good.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes.
What would you like?
Yes. I'm thinking I could use one of your pecan rolls.
Okay, we're almost
then
closing up here, you know.
Listen, will you do me a favor, young man? Would you grab me a bowl of hot water?
Hot water?
A towel.
Okay.
And you got any aftershave back there?
Yeah, I'll go check, sir. We may have some in the back.
Hey, heat up that sweet roll.
So, Mayor Giuliani, if I may call you Mayor. So you're really seriously shaving here tonight. There's no hiding that. You just asked for all the implements of shaving.
Well, I'm speaking at the Four Seasons later, Dave. The
fancy motel?
No. Where do you get your peat moss?
The landscaping.
That Four Seasons.
Oh, okay.
That one.
Oh, okay. That's nice, too. They're both nice. They're both nice. That was good. Well,
what the heck?
I think you're dripping a little bit there.
It's not hair dye, let me say that right now. That is not hair dye. I'll tell you what that is. That is something I mistook for hair dye. I think it was a packet of soy sauce that I had gotten from Fat Man Chow.
Fat Man Chow over on... I order in from there, yeah.
Fifth Avenue. Yeah, I'm usually in New York. I'm out here today for a meeting. We're looking into... by the way, did you get your check here?
No, I'm sure it's coming.
Don't pay it.
No?
I'll pay it. No. I did an examination.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Don't, no, not for
that's
that reason.
That's very nice of you.
The reason I wouldn't pay it is that I've examined that under a microscope. There are bamboo threads in that check, Dave. Your money is going to China, my friend. We'll not pay that check. I will not pay check.
Will you handle
in
it?
The same way that Trump will not pay my bills.
Oh, that's right. You worked for free, for pro bono. With
all over the world. It's Italian, worked, by Dave. The way. I've worked for the kings and queens. I don't know if you notice.
Well, I know that you're good friends with Prince Andrew, right? The prince of...
There were no young girls. I'll tell you that right now. There were no young girls.
None. Okay. All right.
Andrew, great. He can party. Let me tell you something.
I understand. And Epstein,
party.
Too. Didn't you guys used to hang out?
And you know what? I'm open about this stuff. I'm an honest man. I tell you what's going on. We were over on Fantasy Island there. With Epstein-Berg, whatever
it
was.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That Jew.
You took the pedophile express or something over there?
We did take that, the FedEx bus or whatever you're talking about. I don't know. Let me say this. There were no 18-year-old girls. I'll tell you this. The girl Prince Andrew was with, 22, easy.
Oh, okay.
Easy. Okay. Oh, what a time we had. I'll tell you something, too. Is this broadcast?
No, this is between you and me.
All right, I don't have to worry about my language.
No, not at all.
This Andrew is hung like a horse. My God. I think they were sisters, by the way. Sisters.
The 22-year-olds he's with, yeah. And Epstein and you were pretty good buddies and hang out a lot?
Buddies, I'm not saying that I saw Bill Clinton there with a 17-year-old, but I saw Bill Clinton there with a 17-year-old. Who knows? And yet this country was ready to elect him. They did elect him.
Twice?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Epstein is, everybody knew him, like you. But everybody denies any kind of sexual, utopia going on over there. And yet, from my observation of Epstein, why else would you hang out with him? He doesn't have a lot going.
Well,
I didn't see any personality there.
He was no Prince Andrews downstairs, I'll tell you that.
I should have been
treated better. I'm royalty. I am royalty.
Well, she offered you a knighthood, the queen
this,
did, right?
Your awareness.
Yes, oh yes.
History has recorded this. Queen Elizabeth.
The queen.
You know who the queen is.
She's the queen, yeah.
It was shortly after 9/11, once I made sure.
You were involved with 9/11. You had some, yeah, okay.
Tell me, Excedrin headache number 99, my friend. But who did better than me? I'm America's mayor, Dave.
You are America's mayor, yeah.
They didn't knock any towers down today, did they?
Not as far as I know.
No, I've been here with the Muslim ban. Yeah. That was genius by Trump,
that's
by the way.
That's a good idea, yeah.
He won't talk to me anymore, but that was genius.
Well, he owes you money. You know how it is. You try to collect money from people, and all of a sudden they don't
know you. I should give him a call, Dave. One of his calls to, a Ukrainian president or something. I go, come on there, like Vito Corleone, You owe me money!
Well, we could do that right now, Dave, but that's laying a lot of impressions on you. That's laying a lot of impressions on you.
There were no young girls there. The queen, by the way, I wanted to tell you this. This was 9/11, so let's say a couple of weeks later at least.
Late September, about this time
October,
of year.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I came over there to England, and everywhere they were congratulating me. I did a great job. I was America's mayor.
Yeah.
She nuzzles in real close to me, a little uncomfortably close.
I'm
going to say, Andrew Cuomo close,
she was invading your body space.
She was sniffing my hair.
Whoa,
Dave.
Well.
I think there's some of the soy sauces on her. Anyway, by the way, can I just say this?
You could say anything you want, Mayor.
Queen Elizabeth, nice set of maracas. I was in that close. I was in that close, nuzzled up against me. Uh-huh. And she whispers in my ear, she says to me, "You did such a great job. Picture me, if you remember, I danced with Donald Trump in a dress years ago."
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so picture me in a dress. Rudy... you did such a great job. You could almost see your jowl shaking. You did such a great job on 9/11. I would like to make you an honorary knight.
Wow, that's quite an honor.
Yes, yeah. And also see me later in my quarters for some hot chocolate, you young buck.
So there were strings attached to the knighthood, that's what you're saying there, huh?
You know, by the way, you're not with the Borat.
No. We've got no cameraman here. There's
right.
No one.
I'm not taking my trousers. You're staying up on this one. You know.
Well, it's a little disappointing, but okay.
No young girls.
There weren't no young girls. We're empty here. So it looks like a mafia hit's going to happen here, you know?
Well, I worry about that, too. Yeah.
I do.
All right. You know. But anyway, I mean, I had to get a pecan roll.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't pay that check.
I'm not going to pay
that. There
are
bamboo threads in there,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah. Nope. My money's not going to China.
Yeah.
No way.
Anyway. So anyway, that was my knighthood. I was all, you could, you know what?
You turned it
if
down.
If you would, for the remainder of this, call me Sir Rudy.
Okay. All right, sir. So you did accept the knighthood because you said there was something about you might not accept it because you felt that it would make you no longer an American, which...
Does it come with a salary? I'm a little strapped.
You're going to want to see Mr. You're going to have to see Mr. Trump about the salary, but
can you handle this pecan roll?
We're not paying.
Really appreciate
We're not paying.
It. No, don't pay.
I'm not paying for it.
Don't pay for that because
no.
That goes right to China.
Right to China,
and they're about to take over Taiwan. Are you aware of this?
No, I did not know that. No. You got the inside scoop here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There were no young girls, Dave.
There were none.
None.
Okay.
Under 18, no way.
Uh-huh.
No way.
Uh-huh. How did you?
I know what a girl under 18 feels like.
I was
going to
ask you how you determine that. Okay. You go by the feel, huh?
Go by the feel. I got to run. They're closing here. I got to get a couple of pecan rolls.
Okay. Well, when the check comes, I'm not paying it. I'm not paying it.
Listen, thank you for the towel and the aftershave. I'm going to take that with me if you don't mind. They don't, believe it or not, they don't provide that at the motel that I'm staying
restaurant.
At.
The restaurant does not give you the place.
This young man.
Only
this
the
punk,
finest restaurant.
I asked him, how long ago did I ask him? I said to him, why can't you get me a towel and some shave cream?
Yeah. Kids today.
I'm here, I'm having a pecan roll. Doesn't everybody shave with a pecan roll, Dave? What'd you have with your shave?
My shave, I had, I went with like a crescent roll, a Danish kind of thing, jelly. Thing. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. All right, good. Well, that's good.
Well, it's good to see you. Yeah. We're happy we ran into you here. I'm sure Phil is going to be crushed that he missed you.
President Trump to be reinstated. Have me on after that.
Any day now. Yeah.
Have me on after that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Dave.
Phil, you'll never believe who you missed.
I was able to see.
Did you cross paths?
We crossed. I had spilled something. I tried to wipe his cheek, but it wouldn't come off, you know. But, you know,
that's soy sauce.
I smelled soy sauce.
Yeah, that's what that was.
I thought maybe he was coming from a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Or Asian restaurant.
I think he had a soy sauce packet in his hand, and
well,
I asked him a hard question, and he went.
That was pretty pretty fascinating, Dave.
Yeah. How are we doing time-wise here, Phil?
There's a little, I can tell they're into the lights off on us here. If you could shine that. Oh, bless you.
What have we got there?
Yeah, we've got a good... about 20 minutes
really?
To go here on this show,
great,
Dave.
Great, great.
And we've got lots to talk about.
Oh, we do.
So exciting. Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, just by chance.
We'll have to invite him to Sean Connery's wake now that we know it's Sir Rudy.
Yeah.
Maybe he would host the festivities.
Yeah.
Maybe
who knows by that time which side of the afterworld he'll be on. Maybe he'll be over there by then. I can't believe he's hanging on this
amazing
long.
Work. Did you talk to him a little bit about politics? And
I did, yeah. There were no young girls. There were no young girls.
There were no young girls. Because there had been reported that there were young
girls. There were no young girls. No.
And
he knows what an 18-year-old feels like. He's older.
Oh, I would imagine he would, yes.
And,
I imagine he would.
And the Queen hit on him, though.
Yeah, a lot of places in New York.
My name is Linda Ray, and you are listening to Is This on K-Maker Radio, KMKR.
We're on Wednesdays at 9. We have a variety of hosts in addition to Phil and Dave. If you're keeping tabs and want to mark the calendar, we do the second and the fourth week of the month.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a fifth week if there is a fifth.
If there is one, we'll take the fifth.
We lead the month off with the wonderful musical comedy show, Dave. Jen and...
Kurt? Jen and Kurt?
Make a podcast, mm-hmm. and they do the satirical music. They find the comedy in music, and it's a really unique show.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I heard Jen as a guest of Roxy Murari.
Oh,
who
really?
Does the third week of the month.
Yeah. Well, very incestuous.
Keep
it in the family.
You could hear a little light kissing maybe on the show, but, you know.
I would, you know, I'd like to should have mentioned this to you off air, but I'd love to really get Katie Popiel on, because not only is Katie a great guest, Katie, but she's also very busy, if you've seen on Facebook. She's
very busy, so maybe when this particular show ends, but that's the Desert Rose Theater, Dave, up in
the Tucson Mall. Right?
The Tucson Mall. Yep. And I think they generally have weekend shows.
Uh-huh.
Dave, one of the great things about the pandemic, and there aren't that many great things.
I had a great time.
But one is people, you know, collected a treasure trove. Of, you know, great thoughts, inspirational thoughts.
Goals they might have.
Goals they might
have. Sure,
silly jokes, I would think.
Well, they jokes, I guess. Yeah, I don't know, silly.
I heard that you had cleaned out your
Well,
couch.
Actually, Phil, that, it's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I don't know where you came up with this, but during the pandemic.
Rudy, you told me to ask
he'd be in on that. During the pandemic, I, like you and everybody else, spent an awful lot of time at home alone, what they used to call self-quarantining, and we've got a fan here. We got one clap.
I think it was a child stepping on the, plastic wrap, you know.
Okay. Oh, here comes the garbage. We're at an undisclosed location.
Could have been a shot, Dave,
too, yeah. So, anyway.
I don't think it was a gunshot.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're sticking with the show till it's over, Phil.
We're not jumping ship.
Gunplay, we don't care.
This is not Afghanistan.
No.
We're not going to leave like that.
So what I did was, whenever I thought of something I thought was funny or might make a joke, I'd write it on a little piece of paper. I'd throw it into a box I had next to the couch. Treasure chest, Dave's treasure chest of jokes.
Yeah.
And I haven't done these jokes, but I just reached in and pulled out a bunch of them.
What do you got?
So we're
going to
see what we have.
Now,
for one thing, I don't have any light. It's very dark here. But here we go. Let's see here. That's all stuff I wrote about Norm.
It's another clue to our audience, Dave, as we generally do this show in the daytime. And we've never had a problem with light before, but you quickly have resourcefully...
I've solved that problem with the modern phone here. So, Phil, I noticed that during the pandemic, during the quarantine, I was getting much more in touch with my feminine side.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, just last week, I sold my underpants to a Japanese businessman.
Okay. What is that bringing in these days, Dave?
Just a joke.
Yeah. Did he have a yen for that?
Yeah. Well, there you go. No, Japanese or Chinese, I can remember.
Let me throw that in the box next week.
Okay. Do you ever go on TV, watching TV, and then say you want to watch something on YouTube?
Sure.
Does your TV work this way, where it like switches over to YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, you are now entering a third-party app. Have you seen that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think entering a third-party app, that's as close as I'll ever come to swinging. So it struck me there as I'm sitting. There's more, Phil.
It's one step. More on swinging?
No, there's more. There's more treasures here.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I mean, yeah, feel free to jump in, but I'm just saying it's a... what does this say here? Are we good for time? Are we all...
Yeah, can you give me a shine there?
So there you go.
See? Yeah, thank you.
I'll take a shine to you.
15 minutes to go.
I don't have that many jokes.
No, but we have other things we can talk about. We can bring Rudy back.
There was one time, you know, during the pandemic, a lot of people, they snapped. They couldn't take it anymore.
Oh,
you know,
it was just over the edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the edge.
There was one time I almost snapped during the pandemics. I was watching Grown Ups 2. I turned on the TV and Grown Ups 2 was on. I couldn't find the remote. It's terrifying.
But were you able to find the Grown Ups?
I had to watch about 10 minutes of Grown Ups. It was scary. And I just made it through Paul Blart.
Oh.
You know.
One or two, Dave.
What's the thing here? Oh, you know, I lost a lot of weight during the pandemic.
Yeah, you look terrific.
Thank you. I was asking for that.
I thought that Rudy was looking at you. Like you were a piece of pastrami.
And the thing is, like, one of the problems I had and one of the reasons that motivated me to lose weight was when I was overweight, I hated it if I dropped something in the morning because I've only had one bend over a day in me, you know. If I dropped something at 8 o'clock, man, that was everything else stayed on the floor. I just could not. That was it. Let's see here. I'm very sympathetic with women who feel sexually harassed by men staring at their bodies and undressing them with their eyes. Because I've noticed a lot of people look at my body and then they laugh at me with their mouths. And I find that very, I'm very sympathetic.
Yes.
And then during the pandemic, like many of us, I'm not saying it's you, but, you know, a lot of time on your hands and watch a lot of porn, you know, you watch a lot of pornography.
I'm not ashamed of that.
Okay, I'm not saying you'd be ashamed, but I just think that maybe I watch too much porn.
Yeah.
Because I was at the doctor, and I was in the examination room, and he walked in, he said, please remove your clothes, sir. And I looked at him, and I said, slowly. That's it. That's all my treasure chest for this time. There you go. Thank you.
We'll hope to hear those as they get sharpened and brought to the stage, oh, Dave.
That's as sharp as they get. This is it. I'm pretending like they were just notes,
well,
but those are the jokes.
Remember that joke workshop I talked about, the two-joke minimum?
Oh, I can throw it out there.
Where you go online and you can get 5 minutes of stage time and 5 minutes of critique.
Right, right.
Or you can get 10 minutes of time. That might be.
Well, I mean, they're going to go, that was a bad joke. And I go, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, all right.
Now, let me ask you, now, did you perform recently? Were you back at Tim?
I was on the Tim. You're talking about, I think, August 20th was the date of that show.
Okay. You haven't done a show since then? I thought that you had done something before that, since then, but maybe not.
Not that each show is not unique, like a diamond, Dave.
Well, I was actually leading into the fact that we've talked about that I'm going to be taking an improv class. We had the... from Unscrewed last week, we had Cy Barlow and we had Elena Erickson Lopez on.
Oh, yeah, please.
Was it Lopez Erickson?
It hasn't started yet?
It starts on the second.
Elena?
It's Elena Erickson Lopez. It looks like Elena, but it's Elena.
Yeah.
It starts on the 2nd of October. That's a Saturday, so I'll be giving regular reports on my experiences there. And I just kind of felt like I've been thinking about it before they came in. But then they seemed nice, and that made it easier. But because I mentioned this to you, like stand-up, it's like I'm a little tired of going to the open mics. We've talked about this, where it's like you don't really get, you know, a reaction that really helps you that much, and it's a lot of the same people. And,
yeah.
And you know, I continue my string of years without getting booked very often. So
ooh,
I thought,
I'm glad you said booked.
So then, oh, it's been more than a string. And I thought, let me try something new, kind of out of my comfort zone. I mean, I've done some improv before a long time ago. I'm older. Maybe I'll be a little more relaxed than I was. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's...
Thank you. You know, you do trigger me, and maybe this is what you were thinking of, Dave. I am scheduled to appear in a rather unique show on October 2nd, and that's what prompted me. It will be in Flagstaff, and it's going to be an outdoor show. It's called the Haunted Forest Festival.
I have not heard about this.
Halloween-themed camp. I think it's overnight for the weekend. And there's various frightful, you know, performances and things. Hopefully my performance won't be frightful. But there's a show of comics. And we're performing on October 2nd. It's still kind of on the canvas being, you know, finalized with times and full comics. But I'm on the bill.
Okay, okay.
I'm ready to haunt you at the Haunted
well,
Festival
are you going
if you're
to do
in Flagstaff.
A haunted themed set? Are you supposed to be spooky and scary?
No. I've seen shows like that where they're asking you to appear in costume and as the, you know...
At the Wench, they do the Died Laughing every Halloween.
Of course. Yeah. That should be great, as it is every year. Let's go to that for sure, Dave. Yeah. And, this is going to be more of a festival and a kind of a family festival. So it'll be cleaner than, you know, general stuff.
Okay.
So the
exotic dancer, Ms. Necklace, will not be making an appearance at this show, then.
I don't know that I can clean that one up quite yet. I'm working on that, Dave, where she's, you know, like a woman who folds laundry somewhere.
Okay.
We'll see if we can do that.
That's why she doesn't happen to have anything on, because she's folding it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. The world's oldest cocktail waitress, perhaps. we'll see if we can turn that around.
Yeah.
But I'm anxious to do that and very happy to do it. And, you know, one of the reasons I was offered it and I agreed right away because it sounds like fun, but also I was thinking to myself, oh, how my wife and I would love to see some fall colors. And you can do that in Flagstaff.
Oh, well, okay.
So we're looking forward to that. Uh-huh. You know, a weekend up in Flagstaff is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely little town.
So this time when you said, honey, I'm going out of town to do comedy, she didn't... throw a rolling pin at you, or
no.
She said,
"You know, why don't you come with me?"
You led with the colored leaves, and then said, "Oh, by the way, while we're there, I'll probably pop on stage for a few minutes."
Exactly, and then right. Only Dave, because it's a bringer festival.
It's a bringer.
Hey, you know, segment.
My beloved bringer, wasn't that in your marriage vows? Would you be my bringer for eternity?
My vows. My vows. Mine was not so much a vows as a monologue. I did it as a Seth Meyers closer look.
I delivered mine rhetorically, and everybody felt that was really, you know.
You know, before we go, Dave, a very popular segment we know from the comments we get on Is This On? Please, by the way, like our Facebook page. Go to our Is This On Facebook page, and gives you information on how you can listen to our show Wednesday nights at 9 on 99.9 FM or by streaming. And then, of course, our podcast, which comes out just a couple of days after that.
Yeah, very quickly.
Our
crack production crew has gotten those out quite quickly.
Quickly.
Afterwards,
quickly.
We appreciate
and,
that.
And most of our crack production crew is retired, Dave. They've got the time.
They ran out of crack. They get some work done.
Right. And please like the page. Give us a comment.
No, we are desperate.
Give us a review.
We are desperate, Phil.
And it would be very, very pleasing.
We're desperate
to us.
For attention and for
positive
feedback.
But one of the segments that people always point out that they like, and that is,
it's a
what
mania.
Have you been watching?
It's a mania, yeah.
What have you been watching?
So what have you been watching, Phil?
Well, I've seen the first two episodes of an Apple Plus program, which, you know, if you get Amazon Prime, you get... Prime.
It's Prime.
Amazon
Prime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apple Plus is something else.
Right.
Sorry about that. Hard to keep track. But on Amazon Prime, and I think also you can get it on Hulu, is Murders in the Building. This is a new series...
Only in the Building, isn't it?
Murders only in the building?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And it is a great cast. It has Steve Martin, Martin Short, the very lovely singer turned actress. Help me out here,
Selena
Dave.
Selena Gomez.
I'm a huge
fan
you very
of
much.
Hers. Huge fan.
Over 18, Dave.
Well, that's when I started being a fan.
Yeah.
I waited.
Oh, young girls.
I used to watch her on that Waverly Place show she had on Disney Channel.
Oh, yeah. She's
show.
Been she's around
really,
for a
really
long time.
Really quite a talented comic.
And her comic music actor. Has matured as she has. And you know what? She does a nice job acting. Certainly, I have to give her credit for not being bowled over by two heavyweights.
Yeah. You're like in a show Martin with Martin Mount Rushmore and, You know where
so
she you know where
really,
she started on TV?
No, I don't.
Barney. She was one of the little kids on Barney. The dinosaur.
Lovable,
the dinosaur. She
dinosaur.
Was one of the little kids on Barney.
Yeah. Wow, I was thinking Barney Miller. Was she like a young hooker or something?
That was before her time. She's only like 24 or something now, I think.
Oh, yeah. Very talented.
I watched her on Waverly Place, and I thought she was very, very talented.
This is quite entertaining. It certainly has light moments, but it is mostly a dramedy. A dramedy, in a way, but a drama. It's a mystery. It is actually about a murder in the building. And ironically, Dave, the glue that sort of holds it together is they start doing a podcast about it.
Oh, okay.
And that brings in, by the way, several guest stars.
Oh,
one
sure.
One of which is Nathan Lane.
Okay.
And I got to say, if you're a Nathan Lane fan, his... small role is delightful in this. And it looks like he may be taking out a bigger role.
How can you not like Nathan Lane? He's just one of those guys, I think. He's just great. He's just fun.
You've absolutely got to.
Yeah. Like Martin Short. You know, they're just fun.
Right. And Dave, shoot me a little light here again. We'll get a little time check. And then we want to hear...
I'm in the lighting crew tonight.
There we go. Absolutely.
What you got there?
Very good. So we're in the wrap-up mode here, Dave.
Are we? Okay.
How about yourself? Anything you've been watching that you want to share?
I've been watching a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
And I have to say that as a Mets fan, we're coming through a dreary end, it seems, although I haven't given up yet. But, you know, I really enjoyed this year because after the bastard year of last year, and just at my age, and I think you can appreciate it, it's kind of like you really appreciate a season and to have a season. Because seasons in baseball, which is different from other sports, there's an ebb and a flow, and there's an establishing of who's good, and there's players coming out of nowhere, and there's players coming to the end. It's always a drama. And I just love it. I just love to watch
it. Funny,
even, and it doesn't matter to me so much what the outcome is. You know.
Of course, here in Pacific time at the moment, we're able to watch a lot of these later evening West Coast games, that are on kind of late for people in other parts of the country. But I was watching one the other night in Seattle, who were involved in the playoff chase as well.
Yep.
And all of a sudden I noticed, everyone's wearing a jacket. And I thought to myself, oh, do I love fall baseball? I'm used to mostly Chicago. But when you're sitting there with the top coat on, you know, it's just...
Well, I saw a number of games at Candlestick Park, and that is miserable.
Yeah.
A night game there.
A little chilly.
Did you ever see a game there at the night game?
Oh, yes, I had. Miserable. And also the new AT&T, which is
it's
lovely.
It's a lot nicer, though.
But doesn't have that wind.
No, they built it right, yeah.
Well, Dave, the clock on the wall has reached
there
that
we go
time.
Again.
So wonderful. So sad, of course, about Norm McDonald.
R.I.P. Norm, but you know, the greatest thing is that he is remembered with such love and such admiration.
Great and to share that's all memories you can, with you and our perspective is... You know, budding comics at the time when of Norm's career. Interesting to run into Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, what are the odds? Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Who knew? And I'm not paying that check.
There you go. Was there an issue with the?
Rudy said, "Don't pay it," because he noticed that it was going to go to China.
Oh,
and so he said, "Don't pay it." So I'm not
I see. Well, America's mayor, Dave.
That's what I called him.
You know, so if he says it, it's got to be crazy.
No one more reliable than him. Just ask him,
Right. Well, what a pleasure. Dave, great to see you.
Great to get together. You're going fishing, Phil.
Do a little fishing and traveling with my son.
Beautiful.
And we'll be back to tell tales.
My son's going to be visiting me while you're gone. So we'll have
How wonderful. We'll have a nice father-son. Remembrances.
Well, Phil, according to the old clock on the wall there, it's time to wrap another thrilling episode of Is This On with Phil and Dave.
Are you saying that we need a newer clock, Dave? We might. It might be time to go digital. I'm sick of winding.
I don't know,
that
man.
Clock,
I think that might be a fad. I'm not sure.
Do you have, Dave? I notice you know neither of us are wearing a wristwatch, but do you even have a wristwatch anymore?
I own a wristwatch or two, but I stopped wearing them years ago because I found that I was constantly checking it and not even registering what time it is. I was like wrapped up in my watch. And also, I don't like jewelry because I'm too fidgety of a person. I will lose anything that I
have. And the phones, of course, make it so convenient to just know what the time is and every other
Yes, many of them have a clock on them. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
That's great. Dave, as you say, it's time to wrap it up, and we let me just take a second and thank our listeners who listen to our show as we broadcast live on KMKR Radio, 99.9 FM here in Tucson. Other people, Dave, like to stream the show because the K-Maker streams their signal and can be heard anywhere in the world, and we've got listeners all over the world.
We had a listener in Israel.
Israel, we have a regular listener. Ireland, we have regular listeners. It is, hello, welcome, hello out there in Ireland. Yeah, shalom, Dave, exactly right. We post, of course, on our Facebook page, Is This On? Please like our Facebook page. We put the link to the stream. We also put the link to our podcast, which usually, Dave, about a day or two after the live broadcast on Wednesday nights on K-Maker, we put out the podcast. And that's available, Dave, on Apple or on Odyssey, all of the major outlets for podcasts, iTunes, of course. Hey, if you think of it, you would be our ITO friend for life if you went on Apple or any of the sites and gave us a review. A 5-star review would be great. And maybe your thoughts on the show, and we'll take constructive criticism.
We will.
And throw it right in the trash.
I was going to say a 5-star review or a 0-star review. People tune in if they think it's going to be horrible. You know, I mean, I used to watch the Chevy Chase talk show for that reason.
Yes, that car crash,
Whatever you're looking for, great radio or horrible radio, we will bring it to you.
Absolutely. On Is This On? Where, Dave, you know, in our coming shows, we'll continue to have our own mix of interviews with comics that come through town. We like to make the rounds and talk to the comics that everybody knows in town, too. We sometimes sadly have to say farewell, as we did to our good friend Dom DeTola the other day. But if you're a comic in Tucson, ITO has you on the radar. We're watching you. We're you're probably next on our list to interview. We want to have you on here, and we love the camaraderie. So many of our friends are comics here. Do the IDs for the show. We
right,
have a great
right.
time with
yep.
that.
And everybody's got stories.
Just a moment, Dave, as we wrap it up to thank our listeners. We don't do that enough. and all of the venues around town that, that let us sit in their lobbies and do interviews, and all of the great comedy venues. And boy, it's really rolling in Tucson right now since
the pandemic.
Yes, it is.
And we'll keep you posted on that. And like Phil says, interviews with local comics or touring comics coming through town, and try to keep things light.
Hey, we love having you here. Join us next week. Join us on the podcast. You're tuned to Is This On? KMKR Radio, 99.9 FM, Tucson, Arizona. Thank you, and good night, Dave.
Good night.